Please be seated. I want to take that reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21 is my text this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. If you're making use of the Pew Bible, you can find that text on page 1160. Ephesians chapter 3, and beginning at verse 14, which I'd like us to take a look at again, just so it's fresh in our minds. The apostle writes, "And for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, all the people of God, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This morning I want to talk about spiritual power and divine love. Spiritual power and divine love, and in particular, what it means to possess spiritual power and what it means to know divine love. What it means to possess spiritual power and what it means to know divine love. Now, interestingly enough, what we have in our text is, in fact, a prayer. Indeed, what we have in our text is the Apostle Paul praying for the believers in Ephesus. And if we are believers ourselves, I'm thinking that what Paul prays for the believers in Ephesus are also things that we would want for ourselves, which it would seem makes our text all the more relevant. Now, if you notice in verses 14 and 15, we have this apparent indication of a prayer. And indeed, notice again verses 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." And so Paul says that for this reason, or as we have it in the New Living Translation, "When I think of this, I want to pray. I bow my knees before the Father," which indicates that that's exactly what Paul is doing. He is praying on behalf of the believers in Ephesus. But what's Paul talking about when he says that he's thinking about this, or for this reason, which apparently prompts him to pray? Well, in order to understand that, we have to go back, actually, all the way back to chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, if you'd look there. And we talked about this last week, about how the Jews and Gentiles have come together, those two groups that were previously separated, and now God has brought them together in Christ to make one new body of people. In verse 19, "And so then, you are no longer strangers," talking to them as Gentile believers, "you are no longer strangers and aliens, but now you are fellow citizens with the saints," the holy ones, the people of God, members of the household of God, "being built on a foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is being joined together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit." And then notice chapter 3 and verse 1. "And for this reason..." Now what's interesting is chapter 3, verse 1 and chapter 3, verse 14 start the same way. "For this reason." However, at the beginning of the chapter, in verse 1, he says, "For this reason," and then he doesn't go any farther. He starts that thought, and then he spends 13 verses talking about other things. And so he says it again in verse 14 to pick up on the thought that he left undeveloped. And he, so the point is that when I think of these things, I want to pray on your behalf. Indeed, and so he says in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, because of all that God has done for you. And I don't even know if you understand it all. And so I pray on your behalf. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family, or as it might also be in the Greek, or the whole family, from whom the whole family, that is God's family in heaven and earth, are named. And so it's called what? The family of God. And then what follows is the content of Paul's prayer. And the first thing that Paul prays for the believers in Ephesus, is strengthening with spiritual power. Strengthening with spiritual power. Notice again, verses 14 and through 17. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And so Paul says I'm praying that according to the riches of his glory, or as we have it in the New Living Translation, according to his glorious unlimited resources, that God may grant you to be strengthened. Anybody need strengthened? That God might grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, in your inner being, or as Peterson in the Message puts it, not with brute strength, not with physical strength, but with a glorious inner strength, where, by the way, is where all of life begins, in your heart and in your mind. And Paul continues in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, which is somewhat reminiscent of Paul's famous statement in Galatians chapter 2, it is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. It's not me living, it's him living his life through me. Which in fact, by the way, is what makes the Christian life possible. You'll hear people say, you know, we're challenged with something, and Jesus will say something obvious like, love your enemies. And people will say, it's so hard. Well, it's not only hard. In your flesh, apart from God, it's probably impossible. But when Christ is living his life through me, I can do it because that's what God does. God loves his enemies, for instance. But this is why and how the Christian life can work at all. It's because Christ and the Spirit giving me power and Christ living through me. As J.I. Packer put it in his book, Keeping in Step with the Spirit, he said, supernatural living by means of supernatural empowering is at the very heart of New Testament Christianity. That's what it looks like, and that's how it works. Indeed, living the life that we're called to live as believers in Jesus Christ is not a life that we live in our own power. Rather, it's a life that we live in his power. And so Paul prays that according, verse 16, according to the riches of his glory, God may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, or that Christ may dwell in you as you live a life of faith, trusting in him. And so that's the first thing, the strengthening with spiritual power. And then Paul prays for a true understanding of divine love. Indeed, notice that second half of verse 17 on to verse 19. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend, to know, to understand with all the saints, with all the people of God, the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What an extraordinary phrase, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so Paul prays for a true understanding of divine love, saying that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now, that's an interesting expression. And in fact, he's stating the condition in which this will take place and where this prayer can be fulfilled. That is to say that you and I, living our lives like a tree rooted in love. Imagine that. Rooted in love, being nourished in the soil of love, and therefore bearing the fruit of love. And you and I living our lives like a building that is built upon the foundation of love. The point being that the love of God isn't a thing that we know simply in our head, but it is a thing that we know only when we're doing it. As Carl Jaspers put it, only insofar as we love God can we know only insofar as we love can we know the love of God. It's not just here. We know it through doing it. Or Arthur Middleton, in his book, Toward a Renewed Priesthood, he said, if we would understand any teaching in Scripture, we must conform our life to it. And so Paul prays that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, that is, with all the people of God, what is the breadth and length and height and depth. That is, the love of God in all its various dimensions. In all of its wideness, as you practice it in wideness. In all of its extensiveness. In all of its height. In all of its depth. Verse 17, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all of God's people what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, which almost might seem a contradiction. This love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, not that it's unknowable, but that it's so great that it can't ever be fully comprehended. You may know something of its height, but you'll never reach the end of its height. You may know something of its depth, but never reach the bottom of it because there is no bottom. And so on. And so no matter how much we do it or how much we think about it, we can never completely wrap our minds around it. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Think of that. Being filled with the fullness of God. And God active and working in you. It made me think again of what David Taylor wrote in his book, Open and Unafraid, the Psalms, a Guide for Life. He said, to be full of God is to be full of joy. Because in his presence is fullness of joy, and in his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then Paul concludes with this famous doxology, verse 20. And now to him, that is to God, God the Father, the object of our prayer, we pray to God the Father in the power of the Spirit and in the name of Jesus, right? Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly. In fact, if you think, that could never work for me. Well, God can do even more than what you think he can't do. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. One of the things that I find so exciting and satisfying about the Christian life is that there's always more. no matter how much I do of what he says or how much I know of what he says, there's always more. There's always more power. There's always more wisdom, more grace, more joy, more peace, more love, more God. And if these are the things that you want, you can have them. And there'll always be more. Amen? Amen. Spiritual power and divine love. Let us pray. Lord, you're so good. And your blessings are innumerable. Sometimes we know, or we think we know, what it is that we need from you in order to thrive and to be blessed. But no one knows better than you what it is that we need in order to thrive and be blessed. Paul here praying for the church, and perhaps by extension praying for us, that we might be filled with your fullness. And then we remember the words of Blaise Pascal, who said, inside of each of us is a God-shaped hole, and nothing else can fit that or make that hole full but God alone. And that's what we need most of all, Lord. It's in you that we live and move and have our being. You are our truth. You are our wisdom. How can we live a true human life without the one who made us, the one who redeems us, and the one who sustains us? And so, Lord, all these things for which Paul prayed, we pray that they would be ours this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.